Welcome, everyone, to episode 15 of Corner Advice. I'm your host, Ryan Stevens. As always, I'm joined by our UFC expert, Tom Zaffino. Tom, what is up this morning?
Oh, man, I'm feeling good. Last week, we had 2 weeks in a row where, 2 weeks ago, we had a fight that got canceled during the card. Actually, we had one last week, too, but it didn't really affect us because it was the Cowboy fight. We weren't really on it. But the week before that, it was just not a great night for us. So we got back on track last week. Everything went almost perfect for us. And I like to keep that train rolling this time.
Yeah, it was a great week considering, what saved my week was I had, four spots. I've already hit some big parlays, and then four spots had rows at the end there where, you're up like another 25 units if you keep it. Yeah. Or I could cash out one of them, and that would pay for all my row spots. And I'm so thankful I did that. I like put it out there, and I just decided, I shouldn't have her everywhere. Just take it. Yeah. I've already won, so it's already a winning night. And if she won, I hit the other three anyways, it would have been huge. But what a pathetic display by that whole camp. So
yeah, that was the worst fight of all time. I mean, yeah. People compare it to Izzy versus Romero, but I mean, it was intentionally bad.
At least Romero would shuffle his feet and make it funny.
Yeah, like Romero, it was interesting. And he actually did hit Izzy once and hurt him briefly. So, I mean, that fight sucked. But I mean, overall, the cash train keeps rolling. We're now 11-4 in cash.
Yeah, and then you had in the $100 single entry, you have your winning. With just Gaethje left.
All Gaethje has to do is get to the second round and I win that thing. But I'll take it though.
Good week. You came in what, third?
$2,000. It all worked out pretty well. I should have been second. Gaethje, well, I don't know. I guess I got to go back and watch it, but I thought he got two knockdowns in that fight and he was only credited for one. And if he had
just because Oliveira was cool laying on his back doesn't mean it wasn't a knockdown. Those are two knockdowns.
Yeah. So, I mean, but still, good night overall. Cash train keeps rolling on. We got back on the betting side. So, here we go. Let's get it.
All right. Sweet. Let's start it up here. As always, I'll go through the odds, most likely outcome, the least likely outcome, according to the odds makers. And then Tom's here to break it down. We'll start at the bottom, work our way up to the main event. So, and in this order, I pull off of DraftKings, so it might change. But for now, this is the order. So first fight, we got Nick Maximov versus Andre Petroski. We had 20 different odds given out to win, 25 different odds given out for KO or sub, and 23 different odds given out to win by finish or decision. This one is all over Maximov to steamroll. Number one odds to win on the card. And then pretty much can have his way here. Of the 25 different odds given out to KO or sub, he's 7th and 9th in KO and sub odds, and 6th and 4th of the 23 given out to win by finish or decision. So he is just, it's a steamroll when you look at the Vegas odds. But how do you feel about this fight?
Yeah, I agree with all of that. Basically, both guys are wrestlers. That's what they want to do. Petroski's a good wrestler. He fades big time. He's fought two guys in the UFC who cannot wrestle on the UFC level. So he has looked, decent. He's got a couple good wins. But Maximov is the better wrestler here. And if you're, Petroski, who slows down significantly, fighting a guy who can actually wrestle and who's got better wrestling than him, that's going to be tough work. So I think Maximov should put the pace on him, take him down over and over again. I don't care how good of a wrestler he is. I don't think he's as good as Maximov. And Maximov is the type of dude who just, even if he gets tired, he just keeps chaining takedowns together. And I just feel like when it's all said and done, he's probably going to land 6-7 takedowns in this fight. And even if it's a boring wrestling match, he's going to dominate the wrestling.
All right, sweet. Next up, we already broke down this fight a couple weeks ago. Tatsuro Taira making his debut against Carlos Candelaro. Again, this still likes Taira quite a bit. third best odds on the card to get the win. Of the 25 different odds given out to KO or sub, the eighth and fourth for KO and sub for Tara, which leads them to the third most likely outcome being a finish out of the 23 given out there. Also likes him if it goes to decision. Have you changed your mind on this fight at all, or are you still on Tara?
No, I just feel like Tara is a cleaner fighter all around. You know, two debuting fighters, so, you know, play it at your own risk. I guess I shouldn't say that. I mean, I definitely think Tara is the better fighter overall. I feel pretty good about it. But yeah, the one thing that worries me would be they're both making their debut, but Tara has, you know, he looks to be the real deal. He looks like the cleaner fighter. I think he's going to win this fight. And
you don't worry about his level of competition heading in?
No, I feel like his competition level of competition has been decent. I mean, he's been under the one banner, one championship banner. So, you know, there's some tough dudes over there. Candelario, I mean, his level of competition hasn't been high either, really. Yeah. So, I don't know. I just think Tyra, he's got long straight punches, which I'm always a fan of straight punches as opposed to somebody who throws wild. He snatches up submissions pretty quickly. Candelario can get a little wild. I've seen him slow down a little bit. I have not seen Tyra slow down in a fight. And generally speaking, when the fight is even remotely close, if one guy slows and the other guy doesn't, I'm going to roll with the guy who doesn't slow down. And I just think Tyra, yeah, his pace will be better. His straight punches, his ability to grab a submission, he should roll in this one.
Nice. Now, I also think you'll roll with the chick who doesn't ever slow down. And that leads us right into our next fight. We have Verna Janiroba against Angela Hill. The odds, like Janiroba here, seventh most likely outcome to get the win. Seventh most likely outcome out of 25 given out to KO or sub to submit Hill. However, a better odds, you know, more likely outcome to get the decision win here should it go that route. And it also really likes Hill. So Janiroba sixth, Hill ninth out of the 23 different odds given out to win by finish or decision to win the decision against each other. So, you know, the odds to win don't necessarily add up if Janiroba can't get a sub here. Who do you like here?
Yeah, this is a 100% pace pick. I'm going with Hill. She has fought the best of the best. She, no matter who she fights, she almost always goes to decision unless she's fighting a very low level competition and then she finishes that person. But she's had some very close decisions that I feel like she should have won. She's overall just a very good fighter. She can fight anywhere, and her pace just does not wane. As the fight goes on, she is going to be the more active fighter. I think it's up to Janiroba in the first round to really hurt Angie Hill. And that's not something that we normally see. Even if Hill gets hurt in fights, it's hard to put her away. So it's a pace fight for me. That's been the theme of 2022. I go with the pace fighter. Angela Hill has the better pace. As we get into the second and third round, I feel like she gets the job done here.
All right, cool. Next up, we got Michael Johnson versus Alan Patrick. Again, not too far apart here as far as the odds makers are concerned. Johnson, the eighth most likely outcome to get the win out of the 20 given out, and Patrick, the 13th. So somewhat middling there. Their KO odds for both of them are better than their sub odds. So seventh most likely outcome and 13th most likely outcome for Johnson and Patrick to knock each other out. And then Patrick does have, there's a wide split here. Should a submission happen where Patrick has the more likely outcome there. But again, the best or most likely outcome, according to the odds here, would be this fight going to decision. It looks like, I don't know, man, like everything across the board here, looking at what the odds makers did are like, they're clueless on this one. So really want to hear what you think about it. And I know Michael Johnson has frustrated a lot of people in the past. So
yeah,
makes sense the odds would look like this.
Yeah. So when you see Michael Johnson on the card, initially I was an auto fade for me. But when I really broke it down and I look at Patrick, he fades so significantly. And Michael Johnson, he's always been a guy who he's a fast starter. He's got very good hands. He's highly skilled. I mean, he's beat some really tough guys in the UFC, and you know, his career probably should be better than what it is, but he's been frustrating lately. But in all reality, Patrick can wrestle and he can take him down, but I don't think Johnson's just going to give up the takedown easily. And once it gets into the second round, you know, Michael Johnson, he's a scrappy fighter, and he does have good hand, quick hands. And he's a prideful fighter. So he's not just going to just lay back and just get beat by a guy who gasses out and slows down. And as this fight goes long, I just give the advantage to Johnson, which is weird to say because he's always been a fast starter, and then something weird happens and he ends up losing. But in this case, I don't think Patrick has the game to sustain over three rounds. I don't think he can finish Johnson. So I'm going to roll with Michael Johnson here. And, you know, not the most confident play, but as much as I won't be
including that in any parlay.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to play him, and I'm still playing him. So that tells me there's just a lot to not like about Patrick. Just, I mean, he hasn't looked great either, and he's older. Like I said, he fades. So I have to roll with Johnson, and it is what it is.
All right, next up, we got Andrea Lee versus Vivian Araujo. This fight, dead even. 10th most likely outcome for Lee to win, 11th most likely outcome for Vivian to win. Doesn't like either one to get a sub or a finish. And then Lee, 5th most likely outcome to win by decision. Araujo, the 8th most likely outcome to win by decision. So dead split here. This one will be important to hear what you think. Go ahead.
So, yeah, Andrea Lee, pace again. Araujo is very, very good. She's a good striker. She lands with pretty solid power. But again, she's a fighter who looks awesome in the first round, slows down a bit in the second round, and becomes ineffective in the third round. This is a close fight, but Andrea Lee lately her cardio has looked good. She works the body, which is huge. And when you're talking about a fighter fading, you can land some body shots. That can go a long way. There's a lot that has changed in her life. If you kind of look into her background with her marriage and everything, she had some weird stuff going on about 3 years ago. She's kind of now living her own life and kind of broken away from all the drama. And she's looked very good in her last couple of fights. So I feel like Andrea Lee, skill for skill, when the fight starts, I think it's going to be pretty even. As the fight goes long, I feel like her pace will be a little bit better. And I'm going to go with her. Just again, it's a pace fight, and I think she's going to outpace Araujo.
Beautiful. Next up, we got Jake Hadley versus Alan Nascimento. So this one's interesting. Of the 25 different odds given out to KO or sub, they both have the 10th most likely outcome to submit each other. However, you look at the odds to win, and Hadley is by far the favorite here, with the 4th most likely outcome to win compared to Nascimento's 17th most likely outcome to win. But that seems largely like if it goes to decision, they think Hadley would win. 3rd most likely outcome for him to win the decision here, and 21st for Nascimento. So it seems like if they don't think Nascimento can get the sub, he can't win, where Hadley, you know, could tough it out and win the decision. But how do you see this fight playing out?
Yeah, I mean, that's all pretty accurate. Nascimento is extremely dangerous on the ground. We've seen him. He's had one fight in the UFC. He threw up a bunch of submissions, came very close a few times. A lot of people would argue that he should have won that fight. But you know, it was a situation where he was on his back throwing up submissions. And even though they were close, it was a split decision. So one judge actually gave him the fight, but the judges did not go his way. Now he's fighting Hadley here, who is making his UFC debut, who is a good wrestler. He's a solid striker. I don't think he's anything special. I don't really know how good he actually is at this point. I'm going to roll with Nascimento just because he's fought in the UFC and he's fighting a debuting fighter. I feel like this fight's close. Nascimento is going to put him in some compromising positions, and it's going to be a matter of if Hadley can handle those positions and how it looks to the judges. Tough fight, but Nascimento is the play here. And, you know, it's kind of the rules that I go by, you know, debuting fighter in a close fight. I'm going to roll with the guy who's been in there already. And Nascimento has the skills that I feel like can get the job done.
Nice. Next up, we got Manuel Torres versus Frank Camacho. This fight, you know, pretty even as far as the odds are concerned, except Torres, you know, seems to have more than one path to victory. So just to let everyone know the odds, you know, odds to win, Torres, ninth most likely outcome out of the 20, given out to win, Camacho the 12th, sounds even. KO odds, fifth and sixth most likely outcome out of 25, given out to knock each other out. The big difference here, Torres, 10th most likely outcome out of 25, given out to submit Camacho, and it does not give Camacho the same chance there. So the odds makers think this fight is going to end early. So curious to see what you think there. But it seems like Torres has two paths where Camacho has one. So which side are you taking?
I'm going to roll with Torres here. Now, he is the debuting fighter. So, you know, that throws up a little bit of a red flag, but not much, because Frank Camacho has not looked good recently. He actually lost his last fight to a debuting fighter, Justin James, who, you know, has not won a fight in the UFC since that fight. He got knocked out in that one. I don't know. I just feel like Camacho at this point, he could be damaged goods. He hasn't fought in about 2 years. Torres has at least been active. He has very good striking. Again, a guy with sharp, straight punches, and he transitions to submissions very quickly. You know, Camacho, I feel like he has that ability to land a big knockout punch, but I just haven't seen him look good in so long that I can't really trust him. Torres seems like the real deal. I'm going to roll with him here. I feel like he could hurt Camacho on the feet and end up with submission. Camacho, you know, if it gets close, Camacho dips in, tries to take him down or something. He gets caught in a guillotine. There's many ways that Torres can win this fight. I feel like Camacho has one path, and that's to land a big shot. So I'm just going to roll with Torres in this one.
Yeah, I rolled with Torres too, to the tune of putting a 5-unit bet on Maximov, Torres, and one other fighter we'll get to later. And then speaking of bets, you posted one, a 2-unit bet on this next fight here. Caitlin Chookagian versus Amanda Ribas. As far as the odds makers are concerned, they think Chookagian is going to win by decision here. Sixth most likely outcome out of the 20 given out to win. And what's weird is that it gave Chookagian the 10th most likely outcome out of 25 to knock out Ribas here, but then the third most likely outcome out of 22 or 23 given out to win by finish or decision to win the decision here. So I don't know. They like boosted her KO odds up for some reason, but then still think she's going to win the decision. I don't know if they're trying to like, I don't know what they're doing there. But I have a feeling you're on the other side. So how do you feel about this fight?
Yeah. I mean, I like Ribas. She was supposed to fight last week. She was going to fight Michelle Waterson. And now she's moving up a weight class, which I actually think is probably good. She doesn't have to cut weight for this fight. Caitlin Chookagian is taller. She's longer. So that, you know, can pose some problems. But Chookagian's really just a volume fighter. And I think Ribas overall is just has the better skills. I think she could probably take Chookagian down, which would be a good path for her. Obviously, you're fighting a longer fighter. If she gets her down a couple times, that's huge. I really do think the fight is more of a toss-up than anything. And I think Ribas, she's been caught once. She got caught by Michelle Rodriguez. And I feel like all of a sudden now everybody forgets how good she actually is. That happens. I mean, she won the first round in that fight. She's overall skilled. She fights with a good pace. She's tough. She's durable. I mean, even in her last fight, she did get clipped early And then she just put the pace on and she won that fight. She's a very skilled fighter. Chookagian is just a notorious decision fighter. I think they probably do go to decision, but I think Hibas lands a couple takedowns along the way and she gets a couple rounds and gets the job done.
Nice. Next up, we got Davy Grant versus Luis Smolka. Davy Grant rounds out the third part of my parlay, Maximov, Torres, Grant. I just really like those three this week. And there's only 11 fights, so, you know, it's kind of hard to find a nice parlay here. But Grant, second most likely outcome on the card to get the win. Second most likely outcome out of 25 given out to KO or sub to knock out Smolka. Gives him the second most likely outcome to get the finish here. And doesn't really like much about Smolka at all. How do you feel about this fight?
I like Davy Grant. I've come full circle on this guy. I really just thought he was a middling bantamweight. Never, you know, put a lot of stock into him, but he's actually a very good fighter. He's got good power. He's very durable. He keeps up a pretty solid pace, but really it's his power and his just his grit that gets him through these fights. And I just don't think Luis Smolka has anything for him. I think Grant could finish him really any way he wants to. And if it, you know, if it goes to decision, it's just going to be Grant pushing the pace as the fight goes long. So I love Davy Grant here.
Awesome. That makes me feel good about it. Just got to hope Torres comes through on his debut.
Yeah.
Next up, we got Ian Cutelaba versus Ryan Spann. This is very similar to the last fight, although it gives Spann a little better chance to maybe catch Cutelaba with something. So Cutelaba, fourth most likely outcome out of 20 given out to get the win. The number one odds in the card to get the knockout here, where Spann is the 11th, like I said. But still, Scott Cutelaba, number one odds to finish Spann here. And it does not like this fight to go to decision at all. So how do you feel about this fight?
Yeah, I mean, after like the first few minutes, Cutelaba just absolutely steamrolls in this one, I believe. He's landed 17 takedowns in his last two fights. And he's never been a takedown guy, but he spent a little time over with AKA, DC, and all the boys over there. And he's now become very wrestling heavy. Two fights ago, he fought to a draw because he was so wrestling heavy that he faded and ended up getting a draw after dominating the first round. But last fight, he showed that his cardio is better. He can wrestle for three full rounds. Ryan Spann is a very flawed fighter, absolutely flawed fighter. He has some submission skills, but really, if you can out grapple him, you can dominate him. And it's just going to be a matter of can Spann land a big shot, and obviously anybody can land a big shot in these fights, but Cutelaba also can land a big shot himself. He's a very good striker. He's been in there with some very high level guys. I think Cutelaba just wrestles him to death, puts a pace on him, wears him down, probably finds a submission or a TKO at some point. I feel pretty good about Cutelaba in this one.
All right, awesome. And then we go to our main event here, Alexander Rakic versus Jan Błachowicz. Rakic, the fifth most likely outcome out of 20 given out to win. The knockout seems to be the way here. Third most likely outcome out of 25 given out to KO or sub for Rakic to knock out Jan. And then Jan, 10th most likely outcome to knock out Rakic. But if it goes to decision, it likes Alexander way more. So how do you feel about this one?
Yeah, I agree. I'm on Rakic here. When I saw it booked, I was like, Jan is going to win because Rakic has been in some fights that are just like lackluster. So you kind of like downgrade his skill set, even though, you know, he's good. He's a good striker. He has good power. He has good defense. The one thing that really stood out to me was that he actually has very good takedown defense. If Jan wanted to wrestle here, which, you know, that would be somewhat of a path for him. I don't think he's going to be able to get him down. And really watching Jan over his past couple of fights, the fight against Izzy, I thought he lost the first three rounds personally. It was all stand up. He tried to take Izzy down a couple times in the first couple, or, you know, the second and third round. Izzy defended his takedowns. I thought Izzy outstruck him for three rounds. And then he was finally able to get Izzy down and wrestle him for the final two rounds and got the decision. In all reality, I don't think he won that fight. And then against Glover, he just did not look good. I mean, he got rocked on the feet. I didn't even realize that till I watched it back. But not only did Glover dominate him in the wrestling, but he also rocked him with the left hand. And, you know, Glover's very good and he's got some power, but, you know, Jan is the guy known for power, and getting rocked by the guy who wants to wrestle and grapple you is not a good sign. Rakic is just a young guy. He's on his way up. He's durable. He has very good defense, striking defense, takedown defense. I feel like he gets the job done here. And if Jan doesn't have success early, I feel like he's just going to go away pretty quickly. He's getting up there in age. He's been to the mountaintop, and now he's coming, trying to battle back. And I'm not sure he's going to have what it takes to fight and keep going forward when things aren't going his way at this point in his career.
All right, perfect. Yeah, this should be a fun card. Only 11 fights, I imagine, and we'll probably see a good amount of finishes here. So it might be a quick one. You know, after talking about everything, I think the three most confident fights that you have are Maximov, Grant, and Kudalaba. That's what I marked down here. I have my parlay with Torres, but I think I'll add those three in on another site and maybe include Rakic. And then I could, you know, if all three win, I could cash out before the main event and place another bet or whatever I want to do. But yeah, would you agree those are your three most confident?
Yeah, definitely. I feel pretty good about all of them. And honestly, I didn't think I was going to feel good about Rakic coming in, but I do feel, you know, pretty solid with him. I feel like, you know, there's not that much that Jan can do to him. Jan just hasn't looked overly sharp with the striking, and he just has not looked good in his past couple of fights. So unless he just comes out guns blazing, I like Rakic as well. So yeah. And again, with the cash out option, obviously, you know, that's there, but yeah, I think those four are pretty good. And then, you know, I'm on some underdogs, which will be a little bit helpful for us in cash, because it's a tough card with, you know, we got some couple guys that I really like that are high priced.
Yeah, with 11 fights too, it'd be hard to be different.
Yeah, that's the weird thing, but you know, we just play what we think, and we hope everybody else makes the mistake. So
yeah, it's been working.
Yeah,
I always see like the GC, you know, cash train running on everyone. It's all the guys in Slack.
Exactly.
All right, so yeah, this will be fun. As always, make sure you read Tom's article tomorrow night, which will come out after weigh-ins. So things could change. You know, you definitely want to read that. It's very important, especially when he's on some dogs, or, you know, and you've even switched to dogs and that's worked. So definitely read the article after Tom looks at the weigh-ins. Do you have any other final thoughts at all about this?
No, not really. I mean, it seems pretty cut and dry. You know, we're always searching for that perfect card, and you know, got 11 fights here. I feel like we could get it. But you know, we hope for the best, and yeah, after weigh-ins, we'll finalize everything, and I feel pretty good about this one.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you as always, and thank you to everyone for listening. This has been our 15th episode of Corner Advice. You can find everything on gupscorner.com. We appreciate you listening, and we'll see you in Slack. Good luck this weekend.